Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live with Passion. I'm a Catholic priest. So glad that you tuned into my program. I want to share with you Isaiah chapter 40. God gives power to the faint, and to the one who has no might, he increases strength. Even young people shall faint and grow weary. Young people shall fall exhausted, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I live in a community in Houston, Texas, Holy Name Retreat Center, and it's a group of priests. There are 4 to 8 priests, depending on what year. We've had as many as 10 priests at a time. And one thing that we do to build community is we have faith-sharing groups. And every once in a while, we'll get together, we'll sit in a circle, and we'll talk about what's going on in our life and relate it to God and to faith. And in one of those faith-sharing groups one time, one of our priests, who's now in his 80s, and he was in his 80s when he shared this, he shared that he was going through depression. And it was a very vulnerable sharing for him to reveal that to us. But you wouldn't know it because he was always going to prayer. He stayed active in ministry, even in the 80s. And he seemed like he had a lot of energy. But the bottom line, he was depressed. And one thing I liked about him, though, even though he was depressed, he didn't stay sedentary. And that's what happens to so many people that are dealing with discouragement or depression. They turn toward food, comfort food, and they just sit there and they watch TV and they become a couch potato. But really, what you need to do to combat depression or combat discouragement or combat it when things aren't going your way, disappointments, you need to do the opposite. You need to move. We were created to move. God gave us joints. And what happens is when you move, the fluid in the joints start to flow. The muscles get stronger. They don't atrophy. And the name of this episode is Just Move, whether you're depressed or not. Just move. It's important to move. That's why we were created. We weren't created to be sedentary. I preach parish missions, and on these parish missions, I have hundreds of people come. I'll go to these different churches. I'm an itinerant. That means a wanderer. I move, just like Jesus did. I fly, I drive, and I go from place to place. That's what the apostles did. Jesus said, he gave us the great commission to go. It's a moving thing, to go. We're a going church for a coming Lord. So our church is all about moving. We shouldn't stay sedentary and just stuck. So really, life is about moving. A dance choreographer one time said, life is about moving. When people stop moving, they die. Doctors will tell you that. Muscles atrophy. You stop. You stay sedentary, you're going to gain weight and you're going to just stay stuck. You got to move. It's not that hard. Make yourself move. But what I liked about this priest is that he kept moving even though he was depressed. And you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. He's a priest. He's got faith. You have faith in God. You shouldn't get depressed. Well, I look at it this way. I look at it rather, it's because of your faith you can face your depression. It's because of faith that you can face your trials and adversities. It's because of faith in God that you can move. We just heard it read from the prophet Isaiah. Even though young people grow weary and grow faint, God gives strength. God gives power to the faint. And you can mount up with eagle's wings. So when you're moving, that's a faith move. You're saying to God that I believe in you and I believe in your power And God helps those who help themselves. You've heard that saying. That simply means you start making a move and God will inhabit your movement. He will infuse you and invigorate you and help you to be enthusiastic with life. So whatever you may be going through, any kind of faintness or depression or discouragement, I know there's trials, there's tribulations, everybody's going through stuff. I want to assure you, I want to prophesy over you right now that God is infusing enthusiasm into you, infusing strength, infusing power and energy into you, passion. The name of this program is called Live with Passion. And I want you to have passion. I want you to move. Just like I tell those people on my parish missions, that what I do is I have them stand up in the right in the middle of the mission, and I have everybody stretch. And I have everybody just turn a little bit so that they'll stay focused. Then I have them sit back down. Because people, you know, when they get sedentary, they start yawning and, you know, start losing focus and start falling asleep. And I don't want any of that happening. I don't want you falling asleep during my program. So I want to make sure that you stay moving. So Jesus never said that we weren't going to have difficulties, but he said that in the midst of his difficulties, in the midst of the problems that we have, he would be with us and he would help us. The name of this series is called Through Him, With Him, and In Him. Through him, we can do all things. With him, we can face our difficulties. In him, we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. So depression, let me talk a little bit about that. It's a common mental illness. I've heard it described as the common cold of mental illnesses. Some 1 out of 6 people in the course of their lifetime, 1 out of 6 people, minimally, will get depression. But mental illness is something that many people are going through, not just depression, phobias and anxieties and negativity and all these different mental illnesses that can occur, schizophrenia and different things. And I know about mental illness because I've dealt with it in my own life. I have phobias, social phobias, and it's very hard for me. Panic attacks, and I've dealt with severe anxiety, believe it or not, speaking in front of people. But what I've done is I've moved. Instead of just letting it overwhelm me, kind of like David did. David was faced with Goliath, and instead of running away, he ran toward the giant, and he didn't give himself time to think about it. He ran toward him right away, and he defeated his Goliath. And really, that is the way that you overcome phobias or manage them. I'll put it bluntly, manage your mental illness. You don't really overcome everything completely because we're human. There's always residual fear, residual depression, whatever it is. But you have to manage your emotions. You have to face them. Because unless you face them, if you run from them, they're going to overcome you. But if you run to them, you can overcome them. So I want to have you face your fears, face your anxieties, admit your depression, and have unshakable faith. That's what I loved about that priest. His faith was such that the depression didn't go away, but he faced it. He had unshakable faith. And I think that's a deeper faith than just saying that, God, take my depression away, or God, take my anxiety away, and if you do that, then I'll have faith. I think the faith that God wants is the faith that faces these trials and tribulations, doesn't run from them, and then you become stronger through them. The only way out is through. Not around, not under, not above. The only way out is through. And because God is with us, we won't faint. We won't grow weary. So we all get discouraged and disappointed from time to time, but depression is when you feel sad, you lose interest in activities, you lose energy, you may cry, may feel worthless. Some consider suicide. There's all kinds of reasons for it. A lot of them come from biochemistry, your brain chemicals change, genetics, it may run in your family. Well, the good news is that 80 to 90% of people that go through depression improve. As I said, not everybody gets totally healed here, but my point is you don't have to stay stuck. It can get better. It will get better. God has you watching this program for a reason. He's speaking to you. He's breathing new energy, new strength into you. When people come to me with depression, and people do, they come to me for counseling, I try to get a feel for what they're going through. What's the context of your life? Oftentimes, depression, discouragement, disappointment comes for some reason. There's something going on in your life. It could be a family problem, relationships. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe somebody that you love just died. That's hard when you're grieving. Money problems, health problems. What's the cause of your depression? You are a story, an unfolding story. You don't just all of a sudden show up on the planet Earth. I mean, it's not just today that you're living. You're in the context of a whole chapter, a whole story of your life. So usually what I suggest is once I get the context, I say, okay, let's talk about exactly what you're going through. And then I suggest some things. Have you been to a doctor lately and checked your medication? Because as I said, oftentimes getting depressed is something medical, has to do with chemicals in the brain and various things like that. So you got to try to get the right medication and or keep them in balance. You don't want to be out of balance with your medications either. So make sure you're getting the proper dosage. And then talk things out. There's no stigma about going to a counselor, to a priest, to a counselor. Talk things out, get new perspectives. Oftentimes, you know, you got to broaden your vision, get different thoughts in there. Sometimes you get caught in these swirls of thought and it just stays the same. You got to get beyond that. Let other people broaden your vision a little bit. And then I talk about avoiding alcohol because alcohol is a depressant. Don't go turning to alcohol to try to get better, escape your problems, avoid sugar. That's what happens. People get depressed and they do all the wrong things. They drink, they have sugar, they eat the wrong foods, they just sit there, they watch TV. Move. Just move. That's the number one thing I want to say to you. Exercise. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, you don't feel good when you're just sitting there depressed and stagnant and not moving. Just make yourself. Your will is stronger than your emotions. Your will is stronger than your feelings. You can control your life. You can have some self-control. Get moving. Just do a little bit of exercise. Get outside and take a walk. In one of my other episodes, I talked about how Enoch walked with God, and God walked with Abraham, and God walked with Noah. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, when they're out taking a walk, Jesus came up with them. And I'm telling you, you take walks, you go outside, you breathe the air, you get a fresh perspective, get away from that TV, not this program, of course, but get away from the TV, those soap operas and those other things that drag you down, get away from that stuff and get a fresh new perspective. So, you've probably heard that story in the Bible about this man. He's at the Pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, and he's paralyzed. He can't move. And Jesus walks up to him and he says, do you want to get better? That's a good question. Do you want to get well? It's interesting that he asked him that because some people complain and they're in self-pity all the time, but they don't really want to get better. And the bottom line is you got to want to get better, and you can get better, and God will help you. And remember what I said, God helps those who help themselves. That's a word for you today. Will you help yourself and be your own best friend and take care of yourself? That's what everybody says. Hey, take care of yourself. Take good care. You know, that's what they say when they leave. Well, take care of yourself. So anyway, the man is there and he comes up with this pathetic excuse. There's nobody here to put me into the pool. You know, and he'd been there for like, I forget, 30 years or something like that. Well, if it were me, you know, they have this tradition that when the water is stirred up, that if you get put into the pool, if an angel comes and stirs up the water, if it were me and I'd been laying there by 30 years, I would have crawled into that pool. Maybe I couldn't walk, but so he comes up with this pitiful excuse that nobody's there to help him get up. And Jesus' solution to the whole thing, he says, get up. Just move. And the man got up and he was better. Joyce Meyer tells a story. You know Joyce Meyer? She's an evangelical preacher on television. She has a program called Enjoying Everyday Life. She tells a story about how she was making her bed and God spoke to her and said, you are going to have a worldwide teaching ministry. You're going to go north, south, east, and west and teach the gospel. Now she preaches to millions of people on her program called Enjoying Everyday Life. I love her teaching. Very practical, very down to earth. And notice when it happened. Notice when God spoke to her when she was making her bed. Maybe that's what you need to be doing in your life right now. Make your bed. Clean your closet. Clean the house. Wash the car. Do something. I'm not trying to berate you, of course, but just move. God helps those who help themselves. When you try to exercise a little bit of self-discipline and self-control, you get some control over your life, and that's really important too. So just move, exercise, get out, breathe the air. I had, at our retreat center, a homeless person came and camped out right by our buildings. And, you know, after the first night, it started getting cold. And, you know, he had his little shopping cart and a few belongings there. And finally, we went out to him and talked to him and asked his name. And we gave him a place to stay for a night. I'm not encouraging people to come to our place, but anyway, we helped him to find a place. It was called in Houston, it's called Star of Hope. And what they do is they take in homeless people. They help people to find work, to find a job so that they can make a better life for themselves. They're not just a place where you can stay and they feed you and it perpetuates homelessness. And as I said, it's an epidemic in our country now. There's about a million people that are homeless. Places in Los Angeles, they have on either side of the street just rows and rows of people that are homeless. This is a horrible problem in our world today. So we pray that by the grace of God, this people will get involved with the homeless. There will be more places like Star of Hope to help people, to empower them to move, to just move. I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Vail Horton. Vail was born without legs, and he actually founded a company called Keen Mobility. Their motto is move. And it's interesting because he was born without legs, and rather than allow his disability to paralyze him, it actually helped him to find his calling in life. He got creative. And he realized that there are other disabled people out there, other paralyzed people, people that are not moving in life. And so he developed mobility aids such as crutches, such as wheelchairs, beds to help people, to help them to move also. And so I think it's wonderful that Vail Horton, instead of just stewing in self-pity, like the man, the paralytic beside the pool of Bethesda, and just saying, you know, I don't care, I'm just going to be like this the rest of my life. Rather, he allowed his disability to actually be a catalyst for something more. And now he's helping other people. So rather than stewing in self-pity, it propelled him to something more. And even depression, discouragement, defeats in life can actually be a catalyst to help you to become something more. As I said, God helps those who help themselves. So I always tell people to get out, to move, to try new things. Don't just sit there. And I believe that people ought to move. Churches ought to move and not stay stuck. One of the reasons why churches don't grow is because they're not trying new things. They're not educating their people in good ways. They're not reaching out. And if you're not reaching out, this is what happens in the business world. If you're not growing, you're going to atrophy. You're going to implode. You're going to close in on yourself. So really, we are a going church for a coming Lord. Jesus sent us out with the Great Commission. So not only as individuals do we have to move, we have to move as churches too. I don't know if you've ever heard about Viktor Frankl. He was an Austrian psychiatrist. He was held in a Nazi concentration camp. He learned a lot. He was already a psychiatrist, schooled in psychology. But he learned a lot by these deplorable conditions. And what he learned is that people gave up because they didn't have meaning. But people that had meaning had hope. And for him, his meaning was that he wanted to be reunited with his wife. And that brought a lot of meaning into his life. And it gave him hope, and he didn't give up. He kept moving, even though he was in the concentration camp. Others quit living. Some threw themselves into the fence. Others quit eating because they gave up hope because they didn't have meaning. He developed a branch of psychology called logotherapy. Logo, the word or meaning, therapy. And the branch of psychology has an interesting concept. It says that neuroses, such as depression and phobias and various mental illnesses, all come because of a lack of meaning in life. But once you find the meaning of your life, and once you have meaning, you are able to overcome your mental illnesses and your neuroses. So the name of this program is called Live with Passion. And I have many reasons why I have this program. I want you to develop a personal relationship with God. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to realize your potential. And I want to add value to your life. I want you to have meaning. Of course, your primary meaning is to have a relationship with God, to grow in Christ. But it's also to reach out to others, to make a difference in other people's lives, no matter what you're going through. I have found tremendous meaning, and this got me moving in my life when I realized that people out there are hurting and they need help. I wrote a book called You Can Be Happy. And on the cover of my book, I put four scenes. Number one, somebody working out, exercising. That's one way to grow in happiness. Number two, a married couple holding hands. That's a way to be happy by having good relationships. Number three, somebody reading the Bible. Of course, happiness comes from a relationship with God. And then number four, somebody reaching out to somebody else. See, happiness doesn't come just when you're usurping everything for yourself and being selfish. It comes when you're reaching out, when you're trying to make a difference in other people's lives. So that's what I want you to understand is everybody's purpose. Everybody's meaning. God put that in us to want to help people. I have seen homeless people want to help people. Everybody has that within it. It's in our DNA. God created us that way. That really is one of the deepest meanings of our life. A couple years ago, I celebrated my 25th, 4 years ago, my 25th anniversary as a priest, and I was given a sabbatical. I could do anything I wanted on my sabbatical. I could travel, I could play golf, I could go to school and be educated, do whatever I want. I did take one trip from Florida to California, went on a retreat. But it's interesting what I did with the rest of my time. I wrote books, I preached mission, and I produced for television. That's exactly what I'm doing now, and I'm not on a sabbatical. And you know what that taught me? Even if I could choose anything I ever wanted to do, I would do what I'm doing now. I think that's the greatest thing in life, that you're happy reaching out to people. That's what fuels me with meaning. That's what keeps me moving, wanting to help people, wanting to bring people to a relationship with Christ, wanting to add value to people's lives. This is what we were created for. I have discovered the secret of happiness. Now, I can't tell you that I'm always laughing all the time and I'm not always the life of the party, but deep within is this calm delight, this wonderful joy, because I know I'm achieving my life's purpose, and that is helping people in many different ways, not just spiritually, but psychologically, physically, and everything else. So if I could do anything in the world, I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now, not taking cruises or going to play golf, although you do that every once in a while just to refresh yourself, but I mean a lifestyle of helping others. I have a ministry that reaches out to people in prison. And I involve about 100 people in that. And if you'd ever like to do that, just go to my website and you can write people in prison. It's very anonymous. I went to pray at a Planned Parenthood building where they perform abortions about a week ago. And I met these three young teenage girls who were praying in front of that abortion clinic. And they're being involved in praying against this atrocity that's occurring. You can do something like that. You can get involved at church. You can join Habitat for Humanity. There's a plethora of ways to get involved. Just move. Don't just sit there. I tell people that are unemployed and, you know, there doesn't seem like a job is happening, I tell them, be proactive. Keep at it. Don't be discouraged by closed doors. Sooner or later, God helps those who help themselves. Sooner or later, that door is going to open for you. So, I think you get the message. No matter what you're going through, even young people faint and they grow weary. But for those who wait upon the Lord, those who trust in Him, He will infuse new strength in you, raise you up to be like an eagle, so that you will not be sore, but you will soar. So the purpose of this program is to get you moving, keep you moving, and help you to find your purpose, which is to make a difference in life. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.